Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, continuation of Canto 1, Chapter 3, today text 32. Krishna is the source of all incarnations. Atha param tat avaksham avurha guna drihitam adrishta shruta vashtuvat sa jivo yat puna babha ata param yabal yakta avyurho guna brihitam Advishta Rushta Vastudva Sajivo Yat Puna Bhavaha Ata Paramya Avyaktam Avyudha Guna Brihitam Advishta Rushta Vastudva Sajivo yat puna bhavaha Ata paramya avyakta Abhyurha guna brihita Adrista rushta vashtuva Sajivo yat puna bhavaha Translation. Beyond this gross conception of form is another subtle conception of form, which is without formal shape and is unseen, unheard, and unmanifest. The living being has his form beyond this subtlety. Otherwise, he could not have repeated birth and death. Repeat after me, please. Before this gross conception of form is another form. A subtle conception of form, which is without formal shape and is unseen, unheard, unmanifest. The living being has his form beyond the subtlety. Otherwise, he could not have repeated births. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. As the gross cosmic manifestation is conceived as a gigantic body of the Lord, so also there is a conception of his subtle form, which is simply realized without being seen, heard, or manifested. But in fact, all these gross or subtle conceptions of the body are in relation with the living beings. The living being has his spiritual form beyond this gross material or subtle psychic existence. The gross body and the subtle functions cease to act as soon as the living being leaves the visible gross body. In fact, we say that the living being has gone away because he is unseen and unheard. Even when the gross body is not acting, when the living being is in sound sleep, we know that he is within the body by his breathing. So the living being's passing away from the body does not mean that there is no existence. of the living soul, it is there. Otherwise, how can he repeat his verse again? The conclusion is that the Lord is eternally existing in his transcendental form, which is neither gross nor subtle. Like that of the living being, his body is never to be compared to the gross or subtle bodies of the living beings. All such conceptions of God's body are imaginary. The living being has his eternal spiritual form, which is conditioned only by his material contamination. Let me read again. Beyond this gross conception of form is another form, subtle conception of form, which is without formal shape and is unseen, unheard, and unmanifest. The living being has his form beyond this subtlety, otherwise he could not have repeated births. So we've been focusing a lot on form, particularly as we have been praying for the Lord to manifest in this awesome form with his eternal associates. And we have been hearing Eti Cham Cham Sa Kala Pum Sa Krishna Tu Bhagavan Sa India Bhakalat O Kamina Yanti Yuge Yuge, that this special form, Samon Bonam, it is not an ordinary form. It's not just Vibhata Rupa. Krishna in his highest expression, Radha Madhava, not even the plenary expansion of such. And in comparison, of course, to our bodies, where our bodies are full of tendencies for illusion, for cheating, for making mistakes, etc. And we are bombarded by Adi Atmik, Adi Devik, Adi Bhautik. It's not a wonderful picture. But we realize that, really, we also are far beyond what normally is taking place with what is going on in this material arrangement, where we're practically constantly trying to master a world full of limitations. And so, Srila Prabhupada, I think Bhakti Narayan mentioned in his class, how Prabhupada said he had a disease. Some of you remember that? And he said how the disease was that he could not think small. So, Prabhupada was not just giving us an ordinary religion, trying to access Dharma. And these days people have a lot of trouble with that. They do Adharma, Chala Dharma, Upa Dharma, Upala Dharma, etc. But he was giving us the most expedient, practical, careful way of how to process Sanatana Dharma. Srila Prabhupada had said how he wanted to have Lord Chaitanya, the Panchatattva, in live size form. Something very significant there. When we hear about a great person, we think about some things. The name, who is this person? The Nama. The Rupa, how is the individual appearing? What is his form? The Guna, what are the qualities associated with that particular form? And most important, what goes on? What's the Leelas? And the greater that the individual is, the more animated and the more exciting it is as we hear about these things. And the greater the person is, the greater legacy they leave even after they're gone, the greater effects they have when they're present, and they make a great impact that just permeates. Prabhupada not thinking small means that we also, following him, are never to think small. Jai Sri Sivara Mahalavagi. Because a big danger in thinking small means that we're not fully accepting Krishna's power and supreme dominion over all things. We may think small in terms of our own limitations, but not small in terms of what Krishna can do and will do if we allow Him to use us and to work through us. You know, there's so many devotees who are here during the ceremony, and still so many devotees are around. Temple is still practically full, thousands of devotees on Parikram. And I hope we will all leave here actually transformed. That by the time all of us leave here, we should really be a different person than when we came into this dham. Because the dham, obviously, the places where there's magnified chance to advance, magnified chance to have quality association, magnified chance to think and to really become more intricately a part of the unfolding leelas of the great acharyas, acharyavan purusha veda. If we know the acharyas, we can really understand better what is what. But a wonderful chance to identify with what wonderful arrangement Srila Prabhupada has made, not to this, only to this world, but for us specifically. I feel that practically every devotee will go away with certain realizations. And if you don't, it means you worked very hard to block them. Just all of the devotees, there are so many devotees who came who, in many cases, we haven't seen in years and years. More devotees than ever before in history of our gatherings. And we have chance to welcome the Lord in such a grand way. I was having three, and I'll share with you, three realizations. My first realization was just appreciation. I was thinking, yes, this is why we have joined this movement. How exciting what we have, what has come before us. How wonderful an opportunity that we have gotten somehow a chance to be part of this great unfoldment on this planet at this time. Second, I was feeling a sense of overwhelming protection. Appreciation of Prabhupada somehow, almost surreptitiously, came into this universe and gave us something, did what he had to do, left, and now gradually year after year, we're in more awe, realizing, wow, this is amazing what Krishna consciousness is. Because every year, each of us should be accelerating and growing beyond the previous year. And if not, we're cheaters. Because the process is not stagnant. And it doesn't go in de-escalation unless somehow there's apparats and offenses and there's an illusion that we're incorporating and imbibing. If we're not having sufficient appreciation, our advancement will be slow. A slow trek. Even though we have all kind of challenges, all kind of problems, all kind of issues, bodily, political, sociological, institutional, yeah, Haribo, that's natural. We are trying to be spiritual while we are surrounded in a world that's based on how to forget Krishna quickly. And so one has to put extra effort to not be caught up in the general ways or currents. And we've been given all that's necessary by the acharyas. So if we're not sufficiently appreciative, then it's like we're saying, hey Krishna, you're too slow in dealing with me. You are not fair when it comes to my family, to my situation. You are supposed to be Bhaktivatsaya, most merciful to the devotees, but somehow you have missed me. Or maybe you're not fully in control of all things. Or maybe your representatives have not given everything. Lack of appreciation says so many negative things, individually and collectively. Would you be eager to give someone something? You gave them something once, and now you saw that they do not appreciate it. But you've given, you provided, they appreciate, you feel excited for the next time that you can try to offer something. If someone does not use properly what they have, will you be excited to give them something more? If you're a managing director of a big organization, big firm, and if someone is not using what they have proper, they're not creating sufficient teamship, they're not being sufficiently mindful, or maybe they're even sabotaging, you even start taking away. And so the science is very exacting. And Krishna has promised, as we surrender, He rewards. And that we can't cheat on. The Lord is in everyone's heart, isn't He? He is observing. And so there's really no such thing as cheating in Krishna consciousness. Because anytime you cheat, it means you're just asking for, yourself to be cheated. Or you're cheating yourself. Second, I was thinking of protection. And last, I was thinking of invitation. And let me explain that. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, standing there, his huge arms. Isn't it wonderful? It's like he's just, you know, overseeing the whole universe. Which, of course, he is. Universe is, isn't it? And I was feeling a sense of great protection of our ISKCON institution and how it is connected. With these great, great devotees, Hatha Goswami, Jiva Goswami, Madhavendra Puri, on and on and on. And then I was, so this blessings. And feeling additional protection, how Advaita and Srivats are like standing as guards, merciful guards, giving out benediction. But also the mood of protection in a loving way. And how Gadadhar and Lord Nityananda are like inviting. And they're saying, beloved, come now. Come quicker. Come and enter into this wonderful, eternal festival of constant, repeated romance, love, and service. And so I was being quite overwhelmed, as all of us were, in what is taking place. But now I want to share a few concerns. Prabhupada wanted life-size deities. It's like a message to us. He wants the real deal. He wants us to become more real. He wants us to understand the greater realities that we're associated with. Now, we say installation, that we are inviting Krishna to appear. But what does that mean? Lord Nityananda, Lord Chaitanya, Gadadhar, Srivas, they're already here. So what are we really talking about, reflecting on? Praying, coming from all over the world, and yes, we spend millions of dollars, just yourselves, all of us, just in transportation alone. What is this? Waiting and accommodating the Lord appearing. He was already on the altar. We already had the Panchatattva, isn't it? So what do we mean? Appear. If you think about it, what we're really addressing is inviting ourselves to receive the Lord and to upgrade ourselves in a bigger way. Because Krishna is everywhere, not impersonally, but we know Krishna is already there. And so we bring the deities, whatever form of the deity, and now we go on in daily regimented worship. What we're really doing is we are trying to upgrade our own service and attention and care and realization that Krishna is supreme. And so when we are inviting the Lord in a grand way, just like you're inviting a great person, it means preparation and what to say if you're inviting them to stay. It means now there are certain things about ourselves that has to adjust and has to change to be able to ongoing care for, serve, and facilitate the person or persons who we have invited. So the part of my last realization, which part of the third, was like a door had widened. I was getting a reflection how like a door that is already open has widened. That this festival has widened a door for us to rush back faster. That door has been facilitated so that it is more able to accommodate ourselves and the living entities to be able to catch up and accept the Krishna's too, Bhagavan Swayam. Or that same Krishna who has now appeared in the bhava of Srimati Radharani to be like a bounty hunter while engaging in loving pastimes with his associates in reclaiming souls and planting seeds so that some come now and others will come in the near future. So that means every one of us, every ISKCON devotee in the world now must upgrade ourselves because we have invited Krishna in a bigger way, which means that we are ready to widen our own involvement with depth, profundity to receive the great guest that we have begged and prayed in a very powerful and aggregate way to appear. We say, Pashanapi na Pashati, see and not see, that one who is not eager to know the Lord, to serve the Lord, can have so much availability for opportunity to do such and miss it. The atheists, the materialists, the impersonalists, even when they have gazed upon the darshan of the Lord, they do not really see. They're not understanding Krishna manifesting in this special form and what it means. Sometimes we're thinking, we are what Gaura Maharaj used to mention about the drashta versus the drishta. That we have the darshan, we're coming to see. Not really. What we're really doing is we're presenting ourselves. We are the drishta. Yes, we come for the different times, all chant before the Lord, dress the Lord, look at the wonderful clothes, but really greater than our trying to see, because what do we really see? Are we seeing Krishna dancing, playing the flute? Are we? But what is actually happening more is that the Lord is looking at us. But think about that for a minute. That means Krishna has appeared in a bigger way to also look out at us. When we are presenting ourselves, we are there in the physiognomy and the posture of humility, but sometimes it is not in accord to our actions. The Lord is seeing, you're coming before me in reverence and obeisances, but what were you doing 2 hours ago? You're coming and you're offering 4 dandavats, but what was going on last evening? You are offering great songs and prayers, but an hour after you leave me, what will be your consciousness? What will be your activities? So we also to remind ourselves that the Lord seeing us means that He is just not seen when we're in the temple. He is not just seen when we're in the mandir, but He is always seen because one, He is going with us, and He is always taking notice. Therefore, again, the focus on the installations is really is to remind us more that this wonderful Lord who everything is resting upon, is trying to arrange for us to come forth in a bigger way, to receive more of His blessings. Jabotaka Maharaj, the second day, after the curtains close, and then we put the Lord to rest, the Panchatapa to rest. So myself, him, and some of the Pujaris, we brought out the small deities, and then put them, of course, in their beds. And Maharaj mentioned how each day more of the Panchatapa manifest. And I was thinking, yes, but each day more of our own readiness for receiving awareness and cognizance that the Lord is here in this big way also is manifesting. And so it is quite concomitant. The deity is an amazing way to create more authentic community, more pure sangha. Association is most important, but we want important quality association. The more in every single project that each individual devotee thinks how they are the servant of the deity, the more the services create synergy. That means whether you're washing the dishes, whether you're sweeping the floor, or whether you are doing sankirtan, or dressing and feeding the deity. The more that the community can be mindful that we are the servants of the deity, and do that with quality, so that one does his or her work in such a way that it encourages somebody else also to do their quality service for the deity. Well, it is not theoretical, because our whole of Krishna consciousness, in one sense, can be simplified as community and practice for being able to go back and associate in Sanatana eternal community. And one of the most prominent, dominant, categorical aspects of that is the Archa Vigraha. Just notice how so much in so many temples Krishna just demands the time and the minds of the devotees as they have to focus around deity worship. Time for do the deity worship. Now I must go and shower. I must eat later because I have to go on the altar. I must make sure I come back in time. So much is focused around such, because the deity is what? Is our greatest connection with the spiritual kingdom. It is one of the greatest ways of looking at what goes on. Everything centered for Krishna. And it takes healthy teamship, of course, for this to happen. Some years ago, I was doing, actually 2.5 years ago, I was doing a 35 country world tour. And I wanted to go to Bali. I'd never been. I was thinking also of a few centers I never went to. And even as a child, I was always excited about, you know, festival and culture and things like that. And Bali is a very cultural place. So, how many devotees have been there before to Bali? So you see how the people are going to the temples all the time, carrying things for the deities. And there's huge statues of Arjuna and the Pandavas, really huge, the biggest buildings. And they have amazing temples. And so some of the devotees asked me if I wanted to go to some of the famous temples there. And for me, this is my spiritual sense gratification. Yes, yes, yes. I want to taste the local food. I want to go to the big temples. And I want to see some of the dramas. Krishna Lila dramas. So we drove a while, and then we had to track quite a distance up the hill. Had to pay something, and we went to different levels. It was very very exotic. Then we got to the main hall, main temple. it was a total down. There was no deity. Huh? And so you realize, what is all this gorgeous building, so ornate, so amazing, so difficult to get there? And then when you get there, there is no deity. For us, without the deity, then it just becomes a mundane culture, mundane religion. It's not transcendence. So we have these deities. For Prabhupada left, we see how he installed deities so many places around the world. We see how he was so concerned that we give the proper care, proper service, proper maintenance and protection, and do not engage in some unhealthy changing or minimization. And so he was arranging for inviting, but actually inviting us to upgrade ourselves so that we can become more mindful of what we're supposed to do. And so we see when Krishna says, "Man madamava mad bhakto madhaji mam namaskuru," always think of me, he arranges to his devotees ways to help us to think of him more. There's an interesting passage here. It's Bhagavatam 11:34-41. Lord Krishna speaking to Uddhava. Krishna says, "In my temple, one should also participate in festivals and ceremonies by singing, dancing, playing musical instruments, and discussing me with others, with other Vaishnavas." We see how this is what Prabhupada has given us. This is what has been going on these 2 days. "One should observe all the regular celebrated annual festivals by attending ceremonies, pilgrimages, and making offerings. One should also observe religious vows such as Ekadasi and take initiation by the procedure mentioned in the Vedas, Pancharatna and others. In similar literatures, one should faithfully and lovingly support the installation of my deity." Krishna says, lovingly, faithfully, and individually or in cooperation with others, one should work for the construction of Krishna conscious temples and cities, as well as flower gardens, fruit gardens, and special areas to celebrate my pastimes. So, again, Prabhupada not thinking small is in accord with what Krishna himself is saying. Krishna didn't say, always think of me and be in isolation. Krishna says, those who worship me with love and devotion, tesam satita yuktanam, bhajatam pritipurvakam, idami buddhi yogam, yenam upayantade. Those who worship me constantly with love and devotion, he says, I will personally do something. I will give them. I will facilitate them. I will give them the knowledge how to come unto me. So here we're seeing Krishna saying, establishing cities. That, we know our movement starts and moves with few devotees, doing little bhajan, little harinam, distributing a few books, getting some place to give some course, some class in, then establishing a preaching center, temples, farms, communities. Krishna's saying here about cities. And so we see Prabhupada's vision was, it's got a cultural society for re-spiritualizing the whole world. We have to get off this small-minded reflections of just thinking sometimes only about our little problems. If we think about these little problems, and that's where we get boxed in, those little problems become big problems, and we don't move out of that kind of box. And it means that we minimize what the Panchatattva is giving us and how we're being invited by Gadadhar, by Lord Nityananda himself. So we don't want to be in that category of Pashanapi Napashati. We don't want to be those who minimize the presence of the deities. A couple of weeks ago, I was in New Zealand. And the devotees just also built now a wonderful temple. They finalized it. And it's like the whole project, the whole yatra has just kind of taken on to another level. It's transformed. As they have made a nicer arrangement for accommodating the deity. Now some of us were saying, the old temple that had the deity in, now the deities are gone, it's just really like an abandoned building now. Even though it's the same building, because the deity is not there, that it's a total different situation. Sometimes I like to mention how our temples are like embassies in the material world. We traveled to come here. Many of us had to, get a visa. And as the preachers are traveling, so many places, you go, you have to have a passport or some type of traveling documents. And so the embassy arranges for you to have authorized rites of passage. The embassy is not an ordinary building. Even though it's a building on a certain street, those working in the embassy have certain diplomatic immunity sometimes, autonomy. And so that little building can determine whether or not you can go to that huge country. Some people couldn't get a visa, they couldn't come here. So that little building with those few attendants checked one from being able to experience this wonderful pilgrimage. So what we are doing in our embassies, in our temples, our yatras, is determining how we are genuine or not candidates for being able to experience and go back to reside eternally in our home. So isn't it awesome what Srila Prabhupada gave to this world, what he gave to us, by giving us an eternal way, even though he's gone, how we can be able to go back? By having the deities, having the temples, where we can process and integrate our devotion. Let me share one or two of the last things. Last year I was in Ukraine. And again, my spiritual sense gratification. The devotees had told me about, it was a very famous monastery that's known all over the world. And so some devotees reminded me that it's there in Ukraine. Now, this is very brief. This monastery was a place that a few very special monks had themselves buried in caves, alive. Let me explain what that meant. There's a group of monks who were so determined to try to know and meet the Lord in his lifetime. They were so much wanting not to give in to sense gratification, not to play into orthodoxy, that they just wanted to be in seclusion and chant names of God. And so literally, it was like they were saying, we want to have slow death as we chant the Lord's name and descend, according to their understanding. So literally, they would get cemented in a cave, in a cell, like a prison cell, that was so small, you couldn't even do like this, could barely stand. Now there was no light, there was no association. I mean, they make a lifetime vow after they enter into that, or a death vow, never to talk to anybody again, never to associate, never to come out. And so it wasn't any, like, I made a mistake, I went out of here. They were stuck. I mean, they were put in. And so they'd just be brought a little soup, a little bread. They got sick, anything, it didn't matter. Nobody was coming in and they weren't going out. And so all they had was their rosary and to pray. And I guess the toilet facility, they just had passed it out because there was no running water, there was no toilet. So you're amazing in that kind of existence. So it was very unusual. And of course, Krishna responds to devotion and was giving these people some special mercy. Because even many of them, after they died, their body didn't deteriorate. And most of them who did this, the body didn't deteriorate. People come and they pray to them. They have, all kinds of miracles. Anyway, the point about this is that I was thinking that if sannyasis all had to do like that for renunciation, first, I know I would never take sannyas. And I don't think most of us would either. But I was also thinking how sometimes people overcomplicate. Or I was thinking, how amazing the expedient process that's been given to us by our acharyas. That we have wonderful feasts, wonderful festivals, wonderful opportunities to have very powerful association. Well, we don't have to be some kind of Babaji to the point that we're more like yogi, going through all kinds of intense tapasya, increasing our big desire to want to know the Lord, and checking everything out, that nothing has any significance more than wanting to know the Lord. Well, this is also the essence of bhakti, is that the Sudha Bhakta has not a tinge of anything that's more important than Shrotitavya, Smrititavya, more than hearing about the Lord, speaking about the Lord, Machitamagatapana, Boyanta, Shaparasura, coming together, and our real food is hearing about these amazing Nama, Rupa, Guna, and Leela. And not just being in a dark room, dark cave, prison, where we're just praying and begging and crying and trying to have big, big mindfulness about everything belongs to the Lord and we're His servants. So we are very fortunate that we have this opportunity at this time. So in conclusion, in a summary, the verse explained about the body, how Krishna's body is not like our bodies, how the bhati, physical body is there, when there's death, then the subtle body of course goes on to another body, unfortunately. If one is not successful, one is not fully graduated. But where there's full graduation, there's no gross body or subtle body, all of that, finish, over. And how we're experiencing Adiyamigati, Devigati, Bhautik, all of these difficulties. Ooh. But there is something higher, isn't it? Aparyamitasanya, Pakvatam Vidhi Meparam. You do not have to be bound by these elements of stagnation. How Prabhupada's vision was not just to somehow create a little mosque for a few people, give a little more emphasis to Dharma, try to be politically correct. Prabhupada's mission was to help as many people in the most tactful way, but to be chaste and to be firm and to be exact. And so we come on pilgrimage, we are now having the chance to experience what we normally read about. Now we're having a chance to identify more with being a part of that. And so we're saying how, in my own case, my realization was about protection in terms of Lord Chaitanya and blessings from him, protection in terms of Advaita and Gadadhar, and being invited by Gadadhar and Lord Nityananda with great appreciation that, yes, we are part of this wonderful mission on this planet, in this universe, at this particular time. That we are not really the drashta, the seers. But the darshan is really the Lord seeing us. The Lord monitoring to see, are we ready to return? Every time we have darshan, we should be thinking that we are being watched to see if we are ready for going back. Have we become like the residents of Vrindavan? Ain't no going back unless we can become like them, because there's no imperfection in the spiritual world. And so our own little deities, our deities are our projects and our major sinners, but we have the Lord in a big way. There's big cognizance and surveillance. What souls are really getting ready? What souls are getting prepared for returning, where they never have to come back into these worlds unless they come also to invite and to reclaim and bring entities back? That the installation is not so much asking Krishna really to come, because he's already here. Especially this time, the Panchatattva was already here. But we are eager to fulfill Prabhupada's desire of Krishna appearing, Mahaprabhu and his associates, in live form, in life-size form. So it's a wake-up call for everything to become more genuine and more real. Thad Jabotakamar just comment about each day greater manifestation of the Lord. Yes, in each day greater reception should be there of the devotees that we have invited, and now we have things in motion fixed. Because when you invite somebody to stay, then you have to see what is necessary for their needs and what you need to shift to accommodate their ongoing presence. Each of us in our own way to look at what things that we need to fix, to put in place as we have invited the Lord in His most magnanimous form, where He is even more observant because He comes in and around situations to be with His devotees. So we don't want to be an embarrassment by inviting and not being prepared. We know how embarrassing it is when somehow some great person comes, or some great friend or great associate that's dear to you, and you're not ready or you're not receiving them. And what to say in Krishna's own case. And then last we talked about the position of the deity having its own way, if we honor it, to create authentic community. So now we must keep the project, we must keep things clean, keep things neat, keep things tidy. We must be able to broadcast nicely. If we think this is for the deity, people will come, want them to see the deity. People who are already there, we want them to be reminded that they are the property of the deity. And so the cars, the property, the cows, everything, as we think this is the deities at each one of our temples, then the bar of devotion just goes higher and higher. I am totally convinced that this festival raised the bar of devotion for our institution worldwide. That there is no accident that Mahaprabhu and his associates appearing at this time, when there is a greater need for genuine, authentic spirituality. See, everybody's religion is now on trial. With all of the fanaticism and the terrorist things, everybody's religion is being studied closer. That's a good opportunity to be able to show and to present and to offer what really is genuine. And where there's not, it will be noticed more and more by the peoples on this planet. Because many people are even questioning God. They're questioning so many religions, so many wars, so many conflicts. And these religions are now becoming one of the greatest dangers to global survival. That is, people who have hijacked the religion. Because you have devious people everywhere. And the biggest demons, mind you, the biggest demons are not the gross sinners who just do sinful things without any regret or compunction. The biggest demons were like the Ravanas and the Putanas. They were involved in Vedic culture just to do what? To dismantle and to try to attack Krishna and his servants. The biggest demons are those, the biggest warriors in warfare are those who do espionage. They enter into environments and they pretend to be the real deal while they're empowered for destruction. We have sometimes some of our projects, people who are empowered for destruction. Just like we can become empowered to be instruments of the higher, as we are now trying to be used to be mindful. There are also the other polarity. Anytime there is great chance for acceleration, there's also greater attacks. All of our temple presidents, all of our organizers know this. You're trying to start a big festival, you're trying to build a temple, you're trying to accelerate your project. You get more blessings because you're pioneering, but you get more attacks than you ever had. Sometimes as you're trying to do, and after you establish, you get another wave of attacks. Maya's angry. Maya's thinking, okay, you got around me, you built that, you established that. Now we're going to give you so many problems based on what you've accomplished. And so sometimes even success, if we get comfortable, can bring failure later. Sometimes success is our worst enemy. Because sometimes success conditions us to doing the same thing based on what that success was, but the environment or the variables may have changed, and therefore doing the same thing will not always necessarily produce the same results. And this is why we have the Deshakalapatra. But this is also why we have Sadhu, Shastra, and Guru, so that we will not deviate from trying to be more compassionate. If you are compassionate, you must constantly be more mindful about the field of activities and how to minister care due to the field of activities. Every one of our acharyas were emblems of compassion. Every one of our acharyas accelerated and were spiritually dynamic and were visionaries because they cared about people and they were on a mission and they were thinking of Krishna in a big way because they were puppets of the Lord. And just as Prabhupada did not think small, that we, his children and his grandchildren, and later great-grandchildren, we are not to think small. We are to establish cities. We are to have Krishna-conscious villages and cities. And that can be done as we think small of ourselves and as we think big of the deity. This is the difference between low self-esteem and spiritual humility. Low self-esteem, we become paralyzed as we're thinking of ourselves, what you can do, what isn't happening. Spiritual humility is we become energized and we're ready for empowerment because we realize that Krishna can do so much far beyond what any of us can imagine, can plan, can strategize for. So as the bar of devotion has went up, we have all been forced and thrust into a situation now where the bar is higher. There is a greater demand for each of us to accept the Krishna that we have invited. It's a little late. So, Gandhiji, let me just end with this. This is when they were doing the Abhishek. I mean, wasn't it just gorgeous? Wasn't it amazing? Experience that none of us will ever forget, huh? Every aspect of it. Our two, you know, that little concerned about who would bathe. From logistics and from security, we couldn't have really had many people on that scaffold. It would have been actually dangerous. The majority, they also realized, they have so many people, it was a little delicate. But it wasn't an accident that the two most senior governing body leaders of our society were representing us in bathing. The Bajoris, who take care of the deities every day, were more locked in to helping to remind all of us that we are to present ourselves. And so they present the Lord in such a way to help us to be encouraged to present ourselves properly. That the Panchatattva had them to be able to do this. While we all were able to participate, to bring in water, to the kirtan, to the bhajans, to offering the lights, to dressing the deities. So this is also a reminder to us, we are to have internationally unity and diversity with culture. Unity and diversity with honoring etiquette. Unity and diversity centered around the Lord. When we wave Prabhupada to the Prabhupada, we wave the deities, not one or two or few people could do that. Because it's a process for a community. So it's like our Vrindavan and our Mayapur, the major catalyst for sending the message to us all around the world. A major catalyst for soldiers, generals coming, sometimes weak, sometimes wounded, sometimes needing to check in to sharpen our minds and our strategies. Our major camp, and then we go out and we infiltrate. So we should all congratulate ourselves and how we have been fortunate to be involved in this worldwide transformation. We should all congratulate ourselves. That means not false ego, but healthy pride we don't have sufficient appreciation, we will not protect what we have. If we don't have sufficient appreciation, we will not open and be available for the next. So we want to be very appreciative that, not like in the case of Bali, where we have all of these fantastic facilities and what, there's no deity. We have these fantastic things because the deity is there. And the deity is there inviting us to be able to come back and to associate eternally in the spiritual kingdom. I want to ask one thing before I close. Because today, the devotees is my appearance day. So the devotees had me to preach. So I could preach to my own mind probably, giving class on this appearance day. So I have Vyas Puja. But I want to say one last thing. And hopefully you will carry it to those who are on Parikram and in your temples. As we've invited the Lord in this bigger way, we can't just be lackadaisical. Because the more mercy, the more there must be accountability, and the more there is tax or chastisement if we don't take advantage. Understand, the higher the spiritual intensity, the greater the chance for the offense, the greater the chance for becoming mechanical if we're not careful. And so it's dangerous to come so close to the deity. It's dangerous to come to the holy dhams, because the devotion intensifies and amplifies whatever you do, but the offenses amplifies. So now that our movement has been blessed by a greater inviting of the Lord, it's important that we all find individual ways how to make ourselves upgraded to be proper receivers, host of what Prabhupada has given us. I want to ask all of you, along with myself, if you feel uncomfortable, you feel imposed upon, I apologize. I'm not interested in just preaching at any time. I try to preach to convince and to transform. Because my feeling is that we are all to be slaves of Srila Prabhupada. Not just servants, but slaves. And therefore, we know Prabhupada's mercy is huge. And we don't want to embarrass him by being mediocre or by being stagnant or sabotaging his mercy coming through. So I would like us all to make a prayer that we carry from this festival on back to our places once we go back. And we have many, many, some of you have many days more in the Dhams, some only a short time left, some even going back the day or tomorrow. That we make a prayer that whatever things that we need to personally experience to be able to become a greater servant of Srila Prabhupada's mission, that these things speed up in our lives. And the other part of this prayer is whatever we need to have taken away in our lives in order to be a more fit servant of Srila Prabhupada's mission at this time on the planet, that happens. Let me just go over that again, and I'm stopping now. That we'd like as many of you as possible, as we're chanting, yes, we're chanting the mantra, and everything is there. But Krishna says, always think of me. And Vandanam, prayer, is an essential part of the Angas of Bhakti. And we see Srila Narottam Das explains 10 special types of prayers that Vaishnavas make. Sometimes we minimize the potency of daily prayer. Then what is our mind doing all the other times? We got to be mindful. Chanting out loud, chanting internally, prayerful, constantly, coming before the Lord in a mindful state, I'm presenting myself. We'd like as many of you as possible to make this prayer. Whatever that's necessary to help us to become a better servant, Prabhupada's mission, that whatever things are necessary, it doesn't matter. What it means we get sick, whether we die soon, whether we lose money, whether our husband leave, our wife leave, whether we become infamous, whatever that will help us individually to be a better servant of Srila Prabhupada, that we pray that that will happen and will speed up. And whatever things need to be taken away, that we pray that it be taken away. It doesn't matter. Whatever is genuinely going to help us individually in this lifetime to speed up our ability to receive the Lord in this big way, so that we create more and more the community that gradually becomes just more and more like the spiritual world. Prabhupada has given us an embassies all over the world in these temples, and he is a major ambassador, and he ain't gone. He's just physically in a different in a situation, but he is more concerned than ever before. Isn't it natural that when you are a caretaker, you are concerned even more when you're not around about how things are dealt with? How many are willing to make that prayer? We're in front of the Lord. Yes. You're not, it's up to you. We're ready. So we are accepting that at this time, the bar has gone up for our movement all around the world. And we're accepting that we are going to upgrade ourselves. This is wonderful because as each of us increase our devotion, it becomes easier for every devotee. Every time there is acceleration in individual's consciousness, it creates a greater support system to enhance the bhakti. Every time a devotee deviates, it brings more static in the culture of devotion. So the prayer you have just made will assist us all in being better servants by bettering ourselves. ISKCON Founder, Charter of Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Siddhartha Prabhupada Ki, B.C. Rara Madhava Ki, Panchatattva Ki, Vaishnava Ki, Sadhu Haribo.